Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
My friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way, Tom Hartman here with you. And, I just lost my audio. And I don't know why.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
There we go. There it is. Okay, how many people have been killed by Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, Milton Friedman, and the whole gang? This is a serious question. There's an article in today's Financial Times that really triggers it. By the way, Eric Holder, actually, let me just stop the presses here for just a moment. Eric Holder, going through his confirmation hearings this morning. This is why the Republicans, I've been telling you this for weeks, and I've been saying, you know, this is why we just kind of need to keep our heads down and, don't force anybody's hand or whatever, because when Eric Holder is the attorney general, heads are going to roll. And heads from this administration, and these guys are scared stiff. And Karl Rove does not like the idea of going to prison. And George W. Bush and Dick Cheney do not like the idea of being prosecuted for war crimes. And so this morning, Patrick Leahy, by the way, not just being the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, the senator from Vermont. I can't say I know Pat Leahy, but I've met Pat Leahy. He used to be my senator when I lived in Vermont, and I've met him on a couple of occasions, in fact, and spoken with him. He's a brilliant man. He was a former prosecutor. This guy is a no BS. Pat Leahy is one of the toughest and smartest men in the United States Senate. One of the most brilliant, one of the most thoughtful, one of the most insightful, and one of the most honest men in the United States Senate. He is as solid as they get. He's a total law and order guy, and yet he is totally in favor of the Constitution and believes in the integrity and honor of this nation. And here is Pat Leahy this morning asking Eric Holder, well, you can listen.
Do you agree with me that waterboarding is torture and illegal? If you look at the history of the use of that technique, used by the Khmer Rouge, used in the Inquisition, used by the Japanese and prosecuted by us as war crimes, we prosecuted our own soldiers for using it in Vietnam. I agree with you, Mr. Chairman, waterboarding is torture.
I agree with you, Mr. Chairman, waterboarding is torture. And all over the Republican Party, there is a collective shudder that just passed through the Reich. And good for it. So back to our original question, which for the day, or for this hour anyway, in our second hour, by the way, Douglas Schoen is going to drop by. He founded with Mark Penn, Hillary Clinton, the guy who ran Hillary Clinton's campaign, Penn, Schofield, and Berland, which is a PR firm. He's co-authored a new book called The Threat Closer to Home, Hugo Chavez, all about how terrible Hugo Chavez is. We're going to have what I think is going to be a very interesting conversation about that. And in our third hour, Mark Green is going to drop by. He recently co-authored a book with John Podesta, the Center for American Progress, about, Barack Obama, now that you're president, here's what you should do. That's not the title of the book. It's called Change for America. He's going to be here and Christy Harvey's going to drop by. So that's our day. Here's the story. This is what got me going on this thing. This article in this morning's Financial Times, I'm reading the paper. We're doing our show prep, and I'm reading the paper, and here's this article by Andrew Jack in London. And I should say, by the way, my brother Steve actually forwarded me a link to this yesterday afternoon. So I was surprised to see it in the Financial Times that it had actually made it to the print edition. But here it is, and this is from the front section. I think it's page 4 or 5, something like that. I cut the article out. I don't have the page number any longer, but it's right there in the front couple pages, first couple pages of today's Financial Times, which, by the way, sells more copies in the U.S. than they do in the U.K. Here's the article by Andrew Jack. Shock therapy, or rapid mass privatization. Shock therapy is the phrase that the Chicago boys, the Chicago School of Economics, Milton Friedman, Robert Rubin, Tom Friedman, all these guys who believe in absolutely unfettered free markets and a flat earth. These guys, BBC did a great documentary on this by Adam Curtis. It's called The Trap, 3-hour documentary. It follows on the one I was raving about yesterday or the day before, the other Adam Curtis documentary, The Power of Nightmares. Again, you can go over, you can Google the thing, and you can watch it on your computer. 3 hours. It only showed on the BBC. But about how these guys have traveled around the world and convinced governments to do what they call shock therapy, which is rapidly privatize everything. Do the opposite of what Hugo Chavez has done, where he said, American oil companies, you're out of here. American, whatever. We owned a bunch of companies in Venezuela. And he said, nope, sorry, you don't own them anymore. We're making them Venezuelan. But the shock therapy is where you go in and you say, okay, we're going to privatize everything. We're going to do away with the social safety net. We're going to privatize Social Security, as they did in Chile. Everything. Put it all in private hands, give it all to the bankers, and the people be damned. And they have this religious belief that somehow that's going to produce an economy that works. So here's the article. Shock therapy or rapid mass privatization in the former Soviet bloc in the first half of the 1990s was responsible for the early deaths of 1 million people that could have been prevented, according to a paper to be published in The Lancet, the British medical journal, today. People say, oh, it's just an ideology. It's just conservative ideology, after all. The deaths of 1 million people, and this is just in the Soviet Union, in the former Soviet states. An analysis of the 3 million working-age men who died across the former communist countries of Eastern Europe suggests that at least a third were victims of mass privatization, which led to widespread unemployment and social disruption. The study adds to growing research in recent years, demonstrating how far the economic transition led to widespread suffering through death and physical and mental illness. Redundancies, which is the British term for layoffs or unemployment, redundancies, particularly among the less well-educated and those without forms of social support, was one of the main underlying reasons. Which brings us back to this article that I have shared with you before from the BBC, September 18, 2002. The headline. BBC News. You don't see this stuff in the United States. You don't see this stuff in the corporate media, because corporate media is all about shock therapy. The headline that the BBC ran, more suicides under conservative rule. That's the headline. Here's the article. The suicide rate increases under conservative governments, research suggests. Australian scientists found the suicide rate in their country increased significantly when a conservative government was in power, and an analysis of figures in the UK suggests a similar trend. The Australian team analyzed suicide statistics between 1901, when the federal government was established in Australia, and 1998. That's almost 100 years. They then looked at the political regimes dominating both state and federal governments in New South Wales, which have consistently either been under Labour or Conservative control. They took into account periods of drought and World War II because of their economic and psychological impact. After adjusting for these factors, the figures clearly showed the highest rates of suicide occurred when Conservatives were in power. Conversely, the lowest rates of suicide occurred when state and federal governments were both Labour, which we would call the Democratic Party, or Liberals. When the Conservatives ruled both state and federal government, men were 17% more likely to commit suicide than when Labour was in power. Women were 40% more likely to kill themselves. The authors argue the conservative rule traditionally implies a less interventionist and more market-oriented policy than labor rule. And they go on to say, overall, this is the BBC. Overall, the figures suggest that 35,000 people would not have died had the conservatives not been in power. The UK Conservative Party refused to comment on the research. So, I mean, you know, we're getting these articles and we're getting these stories like, you know, isn't this interesting about the death of, you know, there's rich people committing suicide now. Well, yeah, the toll is up to 71, I think is the number now. And of, you know, wealthy people, you got, you know, the German guy who slit his wrists and on and on. But no, that's not the real crime and that's not the real crisis. The real crime is this conservative economic ideology, and the real crisis is here just, you know, in the last decade, or the decade before this decade, a million people dying because of an economic policy, because of a theory that Milton Friedman had. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman. Guys, I know how easy it is to get wrapped up in everyday life. You just flat out ignore your health. I hate to point out the obvious, but sometimes we need to be reminded that without our health, life as we know it becomes extremely difficult. Let me take a few seconds to talk about prostate health and how this small gland can lead to big problems if you ignore it. The classic signs of an unhealthy prostate include the following: difficulty urinating, frequent night bathroom trips, and even sexual dysfunction. Unfortunately, every man will have some sort of prostate-related health issue if he lives long enough. And we all should, right? You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to support proper prostate function. Ignoring your prostate will not make your problems go away. Beta Prostate provides effective, all-natural support. Call and order Beta Prostate risk-free today. Dial 1-800-954-0803. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
away the papers.
He don't spend any more. We'd like to thank you, Herbert Hoover, for really showing us the way. We'd like to thank you, Herbert Hoover. You made us what we are today. Prosperity was round the corner. A cozy cottage room for two.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Hoover, actually, is that song. And that's from the original Annie. And it has not been included in the versions of Annie that have been produced over the last decade or so. I guess the Republicans thought it was politically incorrect to have a song called Thank You, Mr. Hoover, in which people talk about being out of work and out of food and out of coal and having to steal coal to keep warm and all those other things. But that's what conservative economics brought us in the 1930s after the bubble and bust of the 20s. And that's what conservative economics are bringing us again. The broad way that this is portrayed, for that matter, the way that it was portrayed originally in the 20s was, hey, a stockbroker committed suicide. Actually, there was only one in 29. There were a few more in the 30s, but only one guy. In fact, there's even a debate over whether he actually jumped from that window. Somebody might have been pushed. But in any case, but it's like, hey, let's report on the rich. You know, there's an old joke about, or not even a joke, it's actually a truism, about how history is actually the story of rich people. You know, you learn about the kings and queens of England. You learn about the Gilgamesh. You don't learn about the guy who was sweeping streets in Samaria 7,000 years ago. You don't learn the history of average working people. Maybe Charles Dickens, you know, in fiction you read it, but not in history. And so, of course, we look at the rich. And, you know, for example, this from the Huffington Post news team posted yesterday. Recent weeks have seen a spate of suicides by some of the most financially powerful people in the world. German billionaire industrialist Adolf Merkel lay down in front of a train after huge investment losses threatened his family's business empire. Chicago real estate mogul Stephen Good shot and killed himself in the driver's seat of his Jaguar. René Thierry Magnon de la Villiche lost $1.4 billion to Bernie Madoff, went to work, took sleeping pills, and slit his wrists. They refer to this, by the way, as the Greenspan body count. The current tally, 72. That's rich people who have died as a consequence of Greenspan's misguided conservative economic policies. But I think that it's far more important, the research that, for example, that was done in Australia and reported in the BBC, showing that 35,000 people died as a consequence of conservatives being in power. We're talking suicides here. Committed suicide as a consequence of conservatives being in power in that country, and that in the former Soviet Union states, just in the late 1990s, over 1 million, and they were just looking at the men, and in fact, the British, over 1 million men committed suicide as a result of shock therapy, and the British studies, when they looked at women, they found, yeah, men are 17% more likely to commit suicide, women 40% more likely to commit suicide. So if 1 million men committed suicide in the former Soviet states, probably twice as many women did. They were looking at, they were just looking at men. So what's going on here? What has conservative economics, what has Reaganomics brought us to? Tip of the hat to Fred 42 in our chat room. This article from today's Bloomberg News. Actually, it's Reuters. It's based in Reuters. I'm looking at it's the Reuters site I'm looking at, Reuters.com. Here's the headline. Depression ahead. Prepare for stock rout. Societe Generale said on Thursday that the United States economy looks likely to enter a depression and China could implode. In a highly bearish note, veteran cross-asset strategist Albert Edwards said investors should now cut equity exposure. In other words, sell your stocks. Get out of the stock market. Cut equity exposure after a turn-of-the-year rally and prepare for a rout. He predicted that the S&P 500 index of U.S. stocks could be set for a fall of around 40% from recent levels. Edwards also raised the danger of a global trade war with China. He says, while economic data in developed countries increasingly reflects depression rather than a deep recession, the real surprise in 2009 may lie elsewhere. It is becoming clear that the Chinese economy is imploding, and this raises the possibility of regime change. To prevent this, the authorities will likely devalue the yen. A subsequent trade war could see a return of the Great Depression. And he's talking worldwide. And this is a guy, by the way, in October, who argued that his clients should buy stocks because he said there was going to be a bounce toward the end of the year. He was right. And now he's saying, get out of the stock market, get out of the stock market as fast as you can. Why? Well, nobody's going to have any money. Look at this. This is from today's Financial Times, page 3. Fastest fall on record in U.S. retail sales. U.S. retail sales plunged in December at the fastest rate on record. December retail sales were off 9.8% compared with the year before, the sharpest such fall since record-keeping began. It's also the sixth consecutive month of falling sales, the longest on record. The speed of the decline last month was more than twice as much as economists predicted. Analysts last month predicted that as many as 200,000 retailers, these are individual businesses, 200,000 businesses will close their doors by the end of this year, just in the retail sector. Get ready, folks.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Again from Annie. Herbert Hoover, he forgot.
Not only don't we have the chicken,
you ain't got the pot.
Hey, Herbie, you left behind a grateful nation. So Herb, our hats are off to you.
Our hats are off.
We're up to here with admiration.
Thank you, Mr. Hoover. Yes, from the original Annie, and not the politically correct one that no longer mentions Republican Great Depressions. Now, this all sounds like, you know, really depressing stuff. Look at this. Here we have this study in today's Financial Times that conservative economics, Friedman, Milton, and Thomas, Friedman economics killed a million men in the former Soviet states. We've got this report from the BBC that 35,000 people committed suicide in the United Kingdom, or excuse me, in Australia as a consequence of some years. It wasn't even the majority of the years during the 20th century when conservatives ruled that country. And the same in the United Kingdom, and I think you can extrapolate this all over the world. We're seeing it now in the United States. You're seeing spouse abuse, you're seeing child abuse, you're seeing suicide rates going up as a consequence. It all sounds very depressing. Here's the good news, and this is really the good news. We know how this works, we know why this works, and we know how to get out of this. Franklin Roosevelt got us out of this the last time. The only problem that we have is that there are a bunch of right-wing crazies in Congress and in the corporate media who are going off on any...
it's socialism. That's right. You're going to have socialism. Now you realize it's going to be socialism.
It is just astounding. I mean, that word should be banned in the United States.
I can hear the conservatives now. Hartman wants to ban a word.
But here's the problem. If you define socialism as taking taxpayer dollars and providing services to people, then what? You want to do away with our socialist police departments? How about our socialist fire departments? What about our socialist roads? Our socialist army? How about our socialist Food and Drug Administration keeping our drugs pure and safe? How about our socialist U.S. Department of Agriculture that keeps us from dying from salmonella, by and large? How about our socialist FEMA that comes in if we have a disaster, hopefully once it's put back together and made elevated back to a cabinet position under the Obama administration? How about our socialist schools? Well, I know the conservatives want to privatize those. But the bottom line here is we understand now how it is that Republican policies and conservative economics devastate this country and make a very small number of people very rich. We saw it in the 20s, the 1920s, and the 1930s. We saw it in the 1880s. We saw it in the 1840s. They've seen it in the United Kingdom over and over again. We've seen it in governments all over the world. We saw it down in Chile. When we overthrew Allende and put in Pinochet, we have seen it. And then we saw it more recently when they privatized Social Security down there. We saw it in Argentina. I'm mixing my countries up, but you get it. We are seeing this all over the world. So there is something we can do about it, and we damn well better start. And that means pushing our elected representatives to make these things happen and make it work, because it is possible. It can work. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. TomHartmann.com, by the way, our live free chat room. AirAmerica.com for our live free video stream. And Dimitri, I'm sorry, I don't see a city where you're calling from.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, great. Thank you, Dimitri. What's up?
Great show, Tom. You exemplified the devastating effect that neoliberal economics have on the people on our planet. But just last week, you had a neoliberal, David Gaines, I believe, claiming that the problem is the media.
Yeah.
He used offense as the best means of defense by turning truth exactly on its head.
Yes, and
the
we
media
should...
is in fact responsible for the economic collapse of the United States. But not the liberal media of his imagination, but the real conservative media that failed to question neoliberal policies.
That's right. And Dimitri, if I may interrupt you just for a moment, because you keep using the word neoliberal, which every European immediately understands, pretty much everybody all around the world understands what that word means.
Yeah.
But most Americans don't know what it. Right. But most Americans don't know what it means. And so when we talk about neoliberal economics on this show, I typically refer to it as conservative economics or Reaganomics or Thatcher.
Reaganomics is practiced by Reagan and Thatcher when it comes to free trade, unions, healthcare, welfare. The American corporate media has always been with Ronald Reagan.
Yes,
and it is a part and parcel of the economic collapse. It is responsible, but not in the way that David Gaines thought it was.
Yeah. Well said, Dimitri. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening to us there in Fort Lauderdale. Hack in Florence, South Carolina. Hey, Hack, what's on your mind?
How are you today, sir? I'm great and getting better.
Okay, me too.
I have one point to make against what you're saying and bringing up is all these newcomers to the, talking down about the market and what's going to occur. They were all late. Robbie Batra was right on the money. He follows my philosophies greatly. I would prefer hearing more from him than these soothsayers that are so late and now they're talking about disasters. I think we have a potential for a great market now, particularly if our new president uses the funds that we are going to give, we the taxpayer are going to give, to try and get this market back together, particularly if he does something like makes the Small Business Administration tenfold bigger and let the banks make their money doing just services for us lending money to our own people.
Yep, and also have the Small Business Administration actually support small business. I've run a couple of businesses in my day that were actually small businesses, and I looked into getting a loan from the Small Business Administration, and you got to be basically a medium size. I mean, you've got to be a fairly big business in order to qualify for a small business loan. It is nuts. But Hack, you're absolutely right, and this is where we have to hope that, and not hope, forget the hope, we have to push. We have to be assertive. We have to get in front of our politicians and say, Franklin Roosevelt figured out how to do it. Barack Obama can do it. We have to support him in doing it. And by the way, $750 billion and a third of it being tax cuts ain't going to cut it. Tax cuts don't do squat to stimulate an economy. That is a fantasy that was promoted by Ronald Reagan in order to justify dropping taxes on people making more than $3.2 million a year, down from 74% to 27%. And it was a lie. It was a lie then. It's a lie now. It didn't work then. It doesn't work now. And it won't work. And Obama needs to back away from using tax cuts as a stimulus because they're not a stimulus. In fact, he needs to raise taxes because if you look at the history of this country and every other country around the world, what you see is that when you raise taxes so that you're not paying so much interest on a debt, you start to balance the budget, you start to pay down your debt, and you spend some of that money, government appropriately spends that money to provide actual infrastructure, and including and particularly human infrastructure. Let's strengthen the human capital that we have. Let's give everybody in the United States who's capable of going to college a free college education, or at least a very cheap one, so you can put yourself through college just with a summer job. Like I did, like you could do in this in the United States, although I didn't complete college, but like you could do in the United States back in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and early 80s until Reagan took all of that apart. And in every other country in the world, it's just, industrialized country in the world, it's just free. Let's go back to that, and let's put in place trade schools for those people who don't want to go to college or can't go to college, or have no inclination. Let's create a whole new generation of journeymen, you know, really high quality, well trained mechanics and bricklayers and right across everything, all of the trades, all the skilled trades. Let's go, you know, where are our tool and die makers, for example? So anyway, I'm ranting. Ed in Lake Oswego. Hey, Ed.
Hey, good morning, sir. You know, I'm going to write letters to the editor saying exactly what you said about cutting taxes leads to disaster. I mean, especially in the richest people. You had Beinhardt on, and he was just remarkable.
Yes.
And also
Larry Beinhardt has nailed it.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, people ought to listen. And his newest article is absolutely terrific, too. Thank you so much for having him on. Tom, when are we going to have tariffs mentioned in a reasonable fashion back? Do you know?
Everybody is afraid to talk about tariffs. I think that I'm the only guy on the radio talking about it. I may be the only guy on the radio who understands what a damn tariff is, which makes me a little crazy. But, and thank you for bringing it up. We have to take a break here in just a couple of seconds. But just very quickly, the way that historically we ran this country is we said we're going to protect our domestic industries. Alexander Hamilton laid this out in 1791. He said, this is the way it works. If there's a dollar's worth of labor on a pair of shoes made in the United States and you can make those shoes with 20 cents worth of labor in China, then when those shoes hit this border, there's an 80-cent import tax. If you can make those shoes for 50 cents in Mexico, then when they hit this border from Mexico, there's a 50-cent import tax. Those are called tariffs. And what they do is they level the playing field for labor and they cause companies to say, what the heck? I might as well make it in America. And that's the only reason we made shoes in the United States from 1791 until the 1980s when Reagan started taking apart tariffs. It's the only reason we made shirts and underwear and jeans and suits and clothing that we no longer make in this country. Because we had a tariff-based system. And it's the reason why China still has import tariffs. It's the reason why Japan still has import tariffs. It's the reason why South Korea still has import tariffs. But we drank the Kool-Aid. We drank the Friedman Kool-Aid.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's time for us to cover each other's backs, you know? It's time for us to say we are a nation, we are together, we are united in this. By the way, a number of people have called into Air America and asked, where can I find links to the articles you're talking about, today's article in today's Financial Times and the 2002 article on the BBC's website. And this is the stock answer, by the way, for all the, you know, people are very often that will call and say, you know, Tom was just talking about XYZ. Where do I find that? On our website at tomhartmann.com, the patron saint of our website, Sue Nethercutt, who really is, she's our saint or our saintess. I don't know. Is there a feminine saint? Anyway, I guess it's a gender neutral term. Sue is our saint, and Saint Sue has her daily stack. She compiles every single day the links that we've talked about on this show and that the folks in the chat room have dug up and things. And so if you just go to tomhartmann.com, it's right there on the homepage. Click on Sue's Daily Stack, and there you will find all the links. So. No, not Sue, but they are in Peru, I'll tell you. I think that the Supreme Court of Peru has a bit of a substance abuse problem. Maybe they've been. I just don't get it. Peru's top court. They call it the Constitutional Tribunal. It's their equivalent of the Supreme Court. They just ordered that Pablo Cayo be given back his job as a janitor for the municipality of Chorrillos because he was fired only for being drunk on the job. The Supreme Court of Peru has now ruled being drunk on the job is no justification to fire someone. The administrative chief of the town of Chorrillos, Cecilio Baraca, says, hey, wait a minute. We've fired four workers for showing up drunk, and two of them were drivers. How can we allow a drunk to work who might run somebody over? Well, apparently the Supreme Court of Peru thinks that's just fine. This is one of those stories where I'll bet you there is some rational, logical explanation in here someplace that just didn't make it through into the news story, because they can't be that crazy. Or maybe they are. I don't know. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, Carol in Phoenix. Hey, Carol.
Hi, Tom. You know, I, too, have been a small business owner in the past, and I lost. Once I caused workers to get some experience, they moved on to big corporations where they had better benefits, better health care in particular, because I couldn't afford it.
Right.
And although they bemoaned the fact that they left me because they liked me as an employer, they felt like they had to have health care for their family. So I think it would spur small business to have universal health care because they would be able to better compete with the big corporations.
Well, Carol, you are singing my song, and in fact, thank you so much for perfectly setting up this story that I've been wanting to share with people this morning, and this is the perfect time to do it. First of its kind study. This was a study that was financed by the California Nurses Association. CalNurses.org is their website, CALNurses, plural, .org. You can read the actual study itself. Establishing a national single-payer healthcare reform system would provide a major stimulus for the U.S. economy by creating 2.6 million new jobs and infusing $317 billion in new business and public revenues, with another $100 billion in wages into the United States economy. And in large part, it's exactly what Carol was just talking about. The major engine of new jobs in the United States and probably all around the world is small businesses. Big businesses don't create new jobs. By and large, the vast majority, well over 50% of all new jobs created every single year in the United States, and it's been this way since the founding of the Republic, have been by companies with fewer than 50 employees, by small businesses. And those companies are not able to provide health care, and they're not able to compete. And by having a national single-payer health care system, Medicare for all. And John Conyers, by the way, has introduced he introduced it last year. It was House Resolution, 676, as I recall. And in fact, I had the number here, and now I have lost it. But I will find it. In any case, John Conyers did introduce this last year, and he has said he is going to reintroduce it into this congressional session. And when he does, We need to be all over that, like white on rice. We need to be covering, and I will be, and John Conyers, of course, we has an open invitation to be on our show and tell us about it, but he doesn't even need to. I mean, I can tell you about it. It's the single-payer health care system. It's basically Medicare for all. It will work. It will save us 25 or 30% in our total health care expenses, because that's how much the leeches, the bloodsuckers known as health insurance companies, are sucking out of our economy. And keep in mind that health care represents about 10% of our entire economy, 10.5% of all U.S. jobs, 12% of U.S. wages. 45 million jobs are generated directly or indirectly because of the healthcare industry. But that's just the healthcare industry, and it provides a quarter of all federal tax revenues. So not only will the healthcare industry be strengthened and healthier, but small businesses all over America will get a new lease on life. And this is such an incredibly important thing. Here, this study, again, calnurses.org, you can check it out. And again, it'll be in Sue's Daily Stack today. I virtually guarantee it, because Sue is so good at this, and she's been doing it for a while. She's great. Calnurses.org. They're saying, according to the study, and there's really good economics backing this thing up, they just point out, isn't it ironic that in this last year, in 2008, George Bush... Isn't it interesting? His dad's name is George Herbert. Was it Hoover Bush? No, it was Herbert Walker Bush. Anyway, this George Herbert Hoover Bush, the current George Bush, lost us 2.6 million jobs. By coincidence. I mean, literally, by coincidence. The number of new jobs that will be created in America in a single year as the result of instituting a national single-payer health care system, 2.6 million new jobs. Barack Obama, you want new jobs? Pass national health care. The Employee Free Choice Act, so that people can have democracy in the workplace and a say in their workplace. The Employee Free Choice Act and John Conyers' national health care program, single-payer health care program, those two things will go 50% of the way to put this thing back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 6 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Hugo Chavez and the war against America, the threat closer to home. Douglas Schoen is with us. He's co-authored a book with Michael Rowan of that title. You can find it on Amazon and in bookstores all over the country. Dr. Douglas Schoen, author, strategist, founding partner, by the way, with Mark Penn of Hillary Clinton fame, of Penn, Schoen, and Berland. Douglas Schoen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, Tom.
Thank you for being with us. The essence of your book is that Hugo Chavez is a bad guy. you talk about his rise to power, his dictatorial, shall we say, excesses. But the core, I think probably on page 51, where you say, after the presidential election of 2006, he nationalized every American-linked company in the country, starting with Venezuela's oldest private enterprise, Electricidad de Caracas, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it, owned by the U.S. energy company AES. Then he nationalized the telephone company, CANTV, which was owned by Verizon, and then American oil companies. What's wrong with that?
Well, I believe in the sanctity of private property, but beyond that, I believe that unfair takings are not necessarily been in the interest of the Venezuelan people, who have seen their standard of living decline precipitously, while Chavez and his crew have enriched themselves, and they've used their resources for international activities that are against the interests of the United States, like supporting Hamas, Hezbollah, and the FARC in Colombia. That's not good. That's why I think he's a bad guy.
But Venezuela, I mean, the reason why we saw, I'm assuming that you're familiar with ITT's behavior and activities across Central and South America in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, where they were actually assassinating political figures?
I'm sure
not. Corporation?
I'm not here to sanction assassinations by any means, but one bad deed doesn't deserve another.
Well, my point is that these American companies that he nationalized in many cases were there as American companies, not because anybody in Venezuela said, gee, let's start a telephone company and bring in the Americans to do it. It's because the political power of this country was used and the economic power of large corporations was used to basically, you know, sit on the heads of the Venezuelan people.
All right. What else would you like to talk about?
Well, I think that that's the core issue here. It seems to me
I don't see it as the core issue, because I think that the American company's presence in Venezuela brought a high degree of prosperity. And if you look, I don't know if you read the New York Times this morning, but Chavez, because he's in such dire economic straits, is inviting American oil companies and multinationals back into Venezuela because he's made such a muck up of the country. So before you condemn American business and capitalism, I think you ought to look at what Chavez is doing today.
Well, I did read the New York Times this morning, and they never said he had mucked up the country. They said that the price of oil has fallen precipitously, and
it sure
he's inviting the American oil companies to come in and explore for oil.
So he's got to turn to America because of the economic problems facing his country.
Speaking of the New York Times, you know, for example, you write in your book about the protests against his presidency. A BBC reporter, this reported by the BBC about the protest, 100,000 people marching against President Chavez. He's not Caesar, Hugo Chavez, in Caracas. In fact, BBC filmed it and played it. And the New York Times ran this as a front-page story, photo, 100,000 people marching. But the larger march, which was also filmed by BBC and played by BBC and never even reported on in the New York Times or any other American press, was over 200,000 people, a crowd twice that size, marching in favor of Chavez. Why the bias in American press?
Oh, I think to call the New York Times anti-Chavez would be a gross misreading, and I think there are very few people, even on the left, who call the New York Times biased to the right. I certainly think most people on the right see the New York Times, and I'm somebody resolutely in the center, but most people on the right see the New York Times as pretty much of a reliable supporter of the left.
And then why was it on April 12th in 2002, and you referenced this in your book, Chavez resigning his presidency? In actual fact, he was kidnapped at gunpoint and bundled off in a helicopter and given a cell phone and told at gunpoint to call, I forget the guy's name, and say that you're resigning, which he did. And that gave the United States the fig leaf to say, oh, well, we're endorsing the new government because this wasn't a coup. This was a resignation. This was a coup. And if the coup leaders hadn't screwed this thing up, it collapsed in 48 hours, or if they'd murdered Chavez, we still wouldn't know the truth because the New York Times and the American press and the State Department. In fact, when the New York Times was asked by a BBC reporter, where did you get the story that Chavez resigned on April 12, 2002, he said, quote, we got it from the State Department, end of quote.
Well, I think, again, it's entirely debatable what the circumstances were of Hugo Chavez's removal, withdrawal, resignation.
Kidnapping.
I don't necessarily think it was the New York Times being complicit with the State Department on a CIA-engineered coup, as some have said. And frankly, I think that right now the real issue is what Hugo Chavez is doing in the Gaza Strip, supporting Hamas, his training camps for Hezbollah, and his support for the Iranians. Just last week, as you saw, there were explosive devices interdicted in Turkey, and he's working with the Russians now. Dollars worth of arms. That, to me, is the real issue, and that's what we focus on in our book.
He's working with the Russians. We should go after Russia, too?
I'm sorry? Are we going after Russia? Yeah, unless you're here to shill for Putin and Medvedev, I would suggest that they are actors who are, again, not acting in our interest.
Yeah. I'm shilling for nobody, thank you very much. We're talking with Douglas Schoen, who is the author of this new book, The Threat Closer to Home, Hugo Chavez and the War Against America. The thing that I couldn't find in your book, I couldn't find reference to, is that the pro-Chavez, and I've been to Venezuela a couple of times. In fact, I was there the week of the coup in 2002. And the anti-Chavez marches and people, by and large, are the same people who for five centuries, literally for 500 years, have ruled Venezuela, which is a small group relative to the population. It's less than 20% of the population of white-skinned, light-skinned Spanish ancestry people, Spain ancestry people. And when you look at the pro-Chavez marches, which are larger than the anti-Chavez marches consistently, they are mostly dark-skinned people, as is Chavez. Why is that issue? I mean, 80%, I would say, of the Venezuelan people think of him as their Nelson Mandela.
Well, I tell you, that will be a chance to have that fully litigated next month when his constitutional changes that allow him potentially to be president for life get voted on by the Venezuelan people. As you know, his attempt to change the Constitution once failed. I think he's cheated in elections before, but if you ask me whether his support comes mostly from poor and whether he has had a disproportionate amount of support from people with darker skins, that's probably true. But I think it has more to do with economics than skin pigmentation.
Okay, and for the record, the way that he wants to change the Constitution is not to become a president for life, but to be able to run for president for life, which is how the United States Constitution was written by the founders and framers, and how it stood in the United States until what, the 1950s, when Republicans pushed through the constitutional amendment that term limited the presidency in the United States?
All I can tell you is that the kind of elections we conduct in the United States are a heck of a lot fairer than the elections Hugo Chavez conducts in Venezuela. I think we can both agree on that. Hope so.
Well, I don't know. International election monitors were kept out of the polling places in Ohio in 2004. Chavez was not keeping international observers out of his polling places.
Oh, no, he did keep international observers out of his polling places. He didn't allow for a independent monitoring of the count in 2004. And I can tell you that Hugo
by the United Nations or by some right-wing group?
He kept everybody out. But that being said, he's attempted to penetrate our electoral system through Smartmatic, the voting machine company he owns. And fortunately, we've been able to, in large part, keep him out of our electoral system, and that's pretty good.
Well, you know, Smartmatic is selling voting machines, and it's a Venezuelan-owned company, which I think maybe we can agree we should be scratching our heads about having, A, private corporations owning our voting machines, and, B, them being controlled by overseas governments.
Well, I must confess that I don't have a problem with private companies owning voting machines, with foreign governments owning voting machines that operate in our country.
Okay. Douglas Schoen, people can check it out. They can read the book. It's called The Threat Closer to Home, Hugo Chavez and the War Against America, in bookstores now. Douglas, the author, strategist, consultant, founding partner, along with Mark Penn of Penn, Schoen and Berlin. Douglas, thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Interesting conversation. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Provider and licensing details are available.
If this is your paycheck and this is your debt, what are your options? File bankruptcy and tread water the next 7 years? Or make a call for Care One Credit Counseling Services and start getting out of debt today. A Care One Credit Counseling Agency can help you get immediate relief from stress caused by debt, and you'll have one lower monthly payment instead of the pile you have right now. Call a Care One agent today, and you can start saving hundreds of dollars in fees and interest payments. Care One agencies have helped over 4 million people get out of debt, and they can help you too. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983, and find out how you can lower your monthly payments up to 57%. One 15-minute phone call can change your life. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983.
to throw away and knowing what to keep. Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser. And the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. Then when you finish speaking, you turn back towards the window, crushed out a cigarette, and then he faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I've found an ace that I could keep. But knowing when to hold him, know when to fold him, know when to walk away, know when to run, never counts your...
22 minutes past the hour. Yeah, my advice to Eric Holder. Hold those cards close to your chest, sir, until you are Attorney General, and then begin taking names and kicking butt. Okay, here I am on the website of the Carter Center, and election monitoring. This is Jimmy Carter's. The Carter Center's America's program closely monitored Venezuela's electoral process from the December 1998 election of Chavez to his re-election in July 2000 during that country's historic mega election. And then they go through how they did it, a 43-person team led by U.S. President Carter. The delegation, which observed voting at 252 sites nationwide, noted the effectiveness of the country's new automated vote count system, the first national electronic system in the world. In its first year, the Chavez administration put forth a referendum on a new constitution, which in December 99 drew the support of 171% of voters, etc. And then he goes on, at the invitation of the National Electoral Council, the Carter Center made six missions from December 99 to July 2000 to monitor the electoral changes and opened an office in Caracas. These were elections involving 36,000 candidates, more than 6,000 positions, 1,200 distinct ballots. They went back, and this was in 2000 and then again in 2002, and then there's a whole long chunk of text about other years that they did it. And then it wraps up with, in 2006, the Carter Center organized a specialized technical mission to observe the use of automated voting technology employed in the December 2007 presidential elections. And so, yes, the elections the OAS and the Carter Center helped Venezuela's government and opposition agree in May 2003 on terms for a possible referendum in August of 2004. So, yes, the elections were monitored. They were monitored by the Carter Center. And in here someplace, it was the UN Development, UNDP, which I believe is the UN Development something or other, and that helped fund this thing. So it was the United Nations and the Carter Center. Just for the record, it's always useful. And a tip of the hat and many thanks to Joni in our chat room and many others who found these links, and to Nigel Peacock, who's sitting next to me, who found one of these links as well. It's really kind of all over the place, all over the internet, not hard to find. 866-303-2270. Mike in Lyle, Washington. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Oh, I was just calling up about your guest that you had. He was talking about Venezuela, and I hate to tell him, but I think he's got his facts wrong. I go to Bonaire every year,
mm-hmm.
and I live down there, half the year, which is an island off the coast of Venezuela, and I know a lot of Venezuelans. And I know the rich Venezuelans, and I know the average Venezuelans and poor Venezuelans. And basically what Chavez has done is he's trying to rebuild the country from what was actually a collapse. The rich people were basically taking all the money at the top, and they had a poor group of people at the bottom. And the rich people there have walls around their houses with glass, broken glass on the tops.
Yep.
And, they're in...
And still do, by the way.
Little prisons.
Yeah. And still do, or at least did in 2002 when I was there. And you find that all over South America. I mean, I was in Peru a few months ago. You see that there. I worked in Colombia for a while back in 97, 90, and 99. And, you see the same thing. We saw it in Bogota and in Medellin.
But the take that this country has on Venezuela is totally wrong because, I go there and I know.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the problem. What Chavez did, he committed the unpardonable sin of taking American corporate assets and saying, this belongs to the people here. This stuff is ours. This isn't yours. This stuff is ours. And that is an unpardonable sin. That is, you know, that's pretty close to communism, you know, nationalizing things. And how dare he do that? And so instead, we'd rather support people like, is it Uribe, the guy in Colombia, the president of Colombia, who runs death squads? I mean, it's like, you know, we pick our allies and our enemies in that part of the world, in my opinion and in my experience, and I've spent a fair amount of time in that part of the world. We pick them based on our economic self-interest and basically the economic interests of our largest corporations.
Right. Well, the thing is we need to team up with those people. If we're going to go in there and build infrastructure and stuff, we need to team up with them and not take the lion's share of the profits.
Yeah, we should be embracing
it's the corporation's problems, and it's not our problems.
Yeah, I think, you know, Chavez is an eccentric character, and he might not be the greatest friend of free speech. In fact, I would say he's probably not the greatest friend of free speech. But the fact of the matter is, he was elected. He is the leader of the country. And, you know, he said he's trashed George Bush, which is basically, you know, when he went to the UN and famously said, whew, smells like sulfur here, after Bush had spoken. Remember that? And that got him the eternal enmity of the right in this country. But you know, bottom line, we should be bringing these people in, not pushing them away.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
The hour of the Tom Hartman Program, brought to you in part by the Teamsters, proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act, teamster.org, their website for more information. And David Vitter is at it again. Yeah, David Vitter, the guy who in 2007 was a proud client of the D.C. Madam. I say proud client because after he admitted that he was one of the clients of the escort service. When he returned to the Senate after his press conference, his colleagues gave him a standing ovation. Still not sure what for. Maybe they're all just a little jealous. I don't know. But it's certainly not how it worked out for the former governor of New York. But in any case, David Vitter in 2007, revealing that he was a client of the D.C. Madam's escort service. In 1998, one of the first senators to call for Bill Clinton to step down because he had an affair with a consensual affair that did not involve money with a willing adult outside of his marriage. David Vitter cast the lone vote, 16-1, on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, the lone vote against the nomination of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. They just don't get any weirder than David Vitter. I'll tell you, they just don't get any weirder. Laurie in Philadelphia. Hey, Laurie, what's on your mind today?
Hi, I wanted to talk about Chavez.
Yes.
I lived in Venezuela for 12 years, and I just came back from a six-month research for a book that I'm going to be doing on Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
And just to mention a couple of the things that he does well. His education system is completely rehauled. It is extended to every single part of the country. It's called Misión Cultura. Each professor has four classes, 20 students. My brother teaches in one of them. They get a certificate, college education.
Mm-hmm.
After this, they're going on to master's. Hopefully, mm-hmm. after that, we'll see. But my brother, in one of his classes, this is so open that they didn't have a classroom, so they would teach in the local Piazza Bolivar.
Mm-hmm.
It is what we at the university now teach as theory, they're doing actually. It's very community-based. Just very, very broad. The other things that he's doing
If I may interrupt you for a moment, Laurie, with regard to the education, does that mean that if somebody wants a college education or a high school education, I know many poor people in the slums and the barrios, it's, you know, historically even their children have not gone to school. I helped set up a school in Bogota, Colombia, just in the La Paz slum, just for those kinds of kids. Back in 98, that Chavez is making it possible for these people to go to school all the way up to and through college for free?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that will gain him the hatred of conservatives in the United States.
Yes, absolutely. And not only that, but university students are constantly telling these students that that's not a real college education.
Okay.
So I had to tell one of the students, actually, you're cutting edge.
Yeah, okay.
And community, which I thought was outstanding. My brother lives in outside of Caracas, quite far, in a very country, very poor area. They started a community circle. The first thing that they needed was water to be connected. What they do is they get together, they make a project. This is the project that they need, which for them was to connect all the houses to water.
Mm-hmm.
The government deposited money into their account, and they hired the person to do the work. They've got water. The next thing they're doing now is building the road.
Mm-hmm.
The money is given to them. It is the whole community that forms a part of this is responsible to see that the money is used for what they promised to use it for.
Right.
And it works very well, since everyone feels if we don't use it for what we said we're going to use it, they're stealing from me.
Right. And much of this money is coming from the oil revenue. And what I find so baffling is that conservatives condemn Hugo Chavez for taking the oil revenue and sharing that money with people in Venezuela. But they applaud Sarah Palin for taking the oil revenue from Alaska and writing $2,000 checks to every citizen in Alaska every year.
Yes.
It baffles me.
Yes. He's using 2% of the national gross national product for these community circles.
Oh, that's very little, actually. I mean, you know, can't call that communism. Communism is 100%.
Yes.
So amazing. Laurie, thank you very much for that information.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the call, too. Steve in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Tom. I read your book, Targeting the Middle Class.
Oh, Screwed. Yeah, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class.
Awesome book. It was great.
Thank you.
It was great. I'd like to know whose interest he keeps referring to. He keeps saying American interest. I don't see the interest. I don't have the interest. I don't own stock in Verizon or Shell Oil, and neither does anybody I know.
Yeah.
In fact, your average American that doesn't have stock, and if they have maybe a measly 401k at work, it's diversified. And it's so minuscule, they're still trying to figure out why they were paying last year $5 a gallon in gas when we invaded an oil-rich country for so-called interests.
Right. Well, it's
laughable. And I think we got to call these people, and I hope people are waking up. I just want to see more and more people calling them. Because this is exactly what I say. Whose interests?
And in Sean's book, in fact, in the lead into his book, he talks about how Chavez runs a sovereign nation that's the fourth largest supplier of oil to the United States, and which is true, by the way, and how not only did he help drive the price of oil from $10 a barrel to more than $100 a barrel, et cetera. And, the fact of the matter is that Hugo Chavez benefited tremendously from that oil bubble. But as CBS, with their 60 Minutes program, documented last Sunday, it was speculators who were not Venezuelans, thank you very much. They were at J.P. Morgan Stanley. It was speculators in the American investment banking system who drove up the price of oil and the price of gasoline in the United States.
Exactly. So, and the Saudis, too.
They benefited from it, too. But, it was speculators, by and large, in New York who created that phony bubble. And it's like anything to attack Chavez because, oh, my God, he's nationalized American corporate interests. Steve, thank you for the call. I'm sorry, Steve. Eddie in Northampton, Massachusetts. Hey, Eddie.
Hi. Am I on?
You're on. You're on the air, Eddie.
Okay, what we were talking about was this guy who criticized Hugo Chavez. And he kept talking about American interests. And I think we have to take a good look at what American foreign policy is to decide whose interests are they, because they're not in my interest. But they certainly are in the interest of American corporations. And those aren't my interests, not as an American.
Well, that was my point to him. And he said that Chavez was supporting Hamas. And I thought, wow, I didn't know about that. I Googled that during the break, and Chavez has come out and spoken about, that in his opinion, the Israeli response to Hamas has been disproportionate. Now, I'm saying that in a very, a far less inflammatory way than Chavez did. Chavez, from his rhetoric, I would say, is no friend of Israel. But that in and of itself is no justification for trying to stage a coup and overthrowing a sovereign government in our hemisphere, in my opinion.
Well, we're good for that. If you've read the book Overthrow, you'll see that our whole, thrust into those countries has been to encourage corporate takeover land, of the railroads, of the electric companies.
The phone companies.
You're absolutely
right, Eddie, and well said. And in fact, that's the essence of John.
Annoy
Perkins,
Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620 KPOJ.com.
I want to say a couple of things, if you'll let me. I do want to thank Hugo Chavez for being a decent, humane person, and for trying to help get medical supplies and everything else to the Palestinians, because they've been deprived of those things over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. They're even fenced into Gaza, and we paid for that. Abel Morales is another person who's a kind and decent person.
He's a native South American, Indio, I guess is what
in
they call
Bolivia.
Him. And in Bolivia, and he's coming under the same kind of attack. Oh, my God, he's talking about nationalizing things.
Yes, you know that Chavez tried to help the people in New Orleans, too.
And he was supplying cheap or free heating oil in the American Northeast, which did not please the Bush administration.
Now, here's another thing I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. Why don't the U.N. and Jimmy Carter monitor our elections?
Because we wouldn't let them.
Oh, I would love to see that happen.
They should. That was one of the big problems in 2004 in Ohio, was that Ken Blackwell would not allow anybody to monitor the elections that were going on in Ohio when he stole that election. All those votes for John Kerry that suddenly, got transferred to the GWB 43 web server in Tennessee, and that was the end of it. Off they went. And then the guy who was running the company dies in the plane crash a few weeks ago, and we're all scratching our head going, hopefully someday somebody will look into that. But I digress. An interesting day. Eric Holder. We'll get back to that right after the break. Stick around.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620 KPOJ.com.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code BLUE to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, BLUE, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco, and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code BLUE, WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the Plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going to believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, well, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station. Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
KPOJ presents the People's Inaugural Ball Tuesday, January 20th at the Crystal Ballroom. A benefit for the Oregon Food Bank. Admission's free with a ticket and suggested donation of 2 cans of food. Don't miss this fun event featuring live entertainment from the band Commotion, a silent auction, a live DJ, and more. Log on to 620kpoj.com, keyword ball, to find out how to join us for this 21 and over only event. Brought to you by Clear and AM 620 KPOJ. Portland Center Stage presents its production of Apollo, an epic multimedia examination of post-World War II America that explores the birth of the U.S. space program. It's on PCS's main stage January 13th through February 8th. Be sure to listen to The Morning Show with Carl and Christine all week long for your chance to pick up a pair of tickets to the show. For more information on how to buy tickets, showtimes, and more, visit pcs.org.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
And now for the bonus round. If Jack and Jill went up the hill, where did Fred go?
Milwaukee.
Correct. If Jane is older than Dan, and Dan is older than Ed, how old am I?
41 on Wednesday?
Correct.
Yes.
How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
Over 1 billion.
Correct! Netflix! Rent as many movies as you want for only $8.99 a month. No late fees ever. Start your free trial today. Netflix!
See terms of use.
Emergency is the immune system pumping, energy boosting, fizzy, fruity drink mix packed with vitamin C, B, minerals, and electrolytes. Listen to what our customers have to say.
Warning, consumption of Emergency may result in spontaneous air guitar, chest beating, squat thrusting, and or the desire to have your own theme music. An overall sense of well-being is not uncommon with Emergency and may lead to long lingering hugs with complete yet attractive strangers, morning perkiness, and a strong burning desire to tell people you feel zesty. Please do not consume Emergency before funerals, book readings, or court appearances. Emergency makes you feel good, really good.
Who do you ping for? I ping for my mom, my friend Linda, and my cousin Rhonda. 1 in 3 women are diagnosed with cancer, so we all ping for someone. Now you can ping with us and support life-saving research at City of Hope. Find out more at whodoyoupingfor.com.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. We like to, our program brought to you, in fact, in part by you, our listeners, supporting our local radio stations and supporting our advertisers. And to that point, we like to periodically invite advertisers who are having success advertising on Progressive Talk Radio to come on and tell their story. It's a very short little bit here. They get a minute to pitch their product to a national audience and a minute to talk about what happened when they advertised on their local station. Today we have Alex Eckstein with us, if I'm pronouncing that right. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And you pronounce your last name?
Eckstein.
Eckstein, thank you. And you are the vice president of Replace a Lens. The website is replacealens.com, and you've been advertising on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, KKZN in Denver. And tell us about your product, Alex.
So we are a Replace Lens, an independent optical laboratory based in Denver. We've been servicing the optical community here for 25 years. We now do business online at replacealens.com, where we service customers throughout the country. Mm-hmm. We sell eyeglass lenses and specialize in eyeglass lens replacement. So mm-hmm. customers can recycle and reuse their frames by simply replacing their lenses. Mm-hmm. Normally, traditional retailers push new frames and lenses every time there's a prescription change or when the lenses are damaged.
Right.
But eyeglass wearers can easily save money and simply recycle the frames they already have and love.
Right, particularly if they're if they cost a couple hundred bucks to begin with. So,
that's correct. That's so, definitely correct.
So so you guys just take care of that. What, you people send you the frame and you replace the lens?
That's correct. They go online, they print out our order form, mail it to us with their frame and prescription. We do everything here on site. We have low overhead and allow customers to typically save up to 70% off retail.
Wow.
And we the process is simple, pricing straightforward. We have high-quality products, superior optics, and a knowledgeable customer service staff, the staff that's ready to help. And we turn them around in about 3 to 5 days.
And replacealens.com is the website. Alex, what happened when you advertised an AM760 in Colorado?
We've had an excellent experience from the start. We worked with a very knowledgeable sales rep, Tanya Gates at AM760, that made it easy every step of the way. We were able to reach our target market and to do so effectively and affordably. From the first day the commercial aired, we had excellent response. It exceeded our expectations. We had orders almost from day one.
Marvelous, marvelous. Well, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you so much for advertising on the radio. Radio is a very effective form of advertising, and Progressive Talk Radio is a particularly effective. We've got a great demographic and very loyal listeners. And thank you, Alex.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
And people can check out his website at replacealens.com.
That's correct.
Thank you. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, Gary in East Point, Michigan. Gary, you're on the air. What's up? Gary? I am not hearing Gary.
Ooh.
Hey, Gary, you're on the air.
Tom, hello?
Yeah.
Hey,
what's up?
Listen, I was calling about the guy from that wrote the book, the anti-Chavez book. I don't know if you've heard that. There is a book written on Hugo Chavez by Burt Jones. I went to see him speak at U of D about 6 months ago promoting his book.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things in his book that he wrote that since Hugo Chavez has been in office that women have equal rights to equal rights are written in the Constitution. Poverty is 30% less. Health clinics in all neighborhoods accessible to everyone and free higher education.
Yeah, well, these are all good reasons for conservatives to hate Hugo Chavez.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. They are, yeah. And it sounds like the guy may be backing from the oil companies or something. And what does right. Venezuela have, the second or third largest oil reserve in the world or something that they still want to get their mitts on? So yeah. Probably just another right-wing conspiracy book to me.
It may be. On the other hand, there may be some truth to some of it. I mean, Chavez is, as I said, I don't think that he's the best friend of free speech. But on the other hand, I don't believe. Thank you, Gary. I don't believe that there's anybody in prison in Venezuela right now without charges. And we have in the United States people in prison without charges under the Bush administration. Marion in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, listening on WINS. You have a different perspective on Chavez. Marion? I'm not hearing Marion. I don't know if we're having phone problems or you know, we're not. Okay, all righty. George in North Hollywood, California, listening on K-Talk. Hey, George, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I just wanted to say that sort of a watchdog, self-appointed watchdog, I think that there are two examples where you disrespect the listeners to your show.
Okay.
The first example is where you and Senator Saunders made a democracy deactivating comment, there was nothing. It's implying that there was nothing you could really do about this war on Gaza, when in fact we all know shipments of arms go from this country to Israel all the time.
You're right. And a caller right after that called up and pointed out that Eisenhower had actually threatened to cut off aid to Israel if they didn't back away from their war in along with France and England back in the 50s. And I said, I was wrong. I knew about that and I forgot.
The example is very deactivating, discouraging to those who are when they are told that there's nothing they can do.
Yeah, no, George, I'm sorry. We've already dealt with that, and your criticisms aside, Marion, are you there? No, Greg in Coral Springs, Florida. Hey, Greg, what's up?
Hey, Tom, first time caller, love your show.
Thank you.
I want to ask you,
Oil has slid down to about the lowest it's been in years. It's like trading at around 34 today.
Yeah.
Yet gasoline prices have went up 20% in my state. About 169 to 189 is the average down here in South Florida, about 20 cents. I wanted to know why.
Well, so that the CEOs of the big oil companies can pay themselves more millions or hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's crazy. I don't understand how oil goes down.
Yeah. I mean, the real explanation probably has more to do with the fact that much of the gasoline that's being sold right now was made from oil that was purchased at $100 a barrel, and it takes a while for that to work through the system. And the price of gasoline has come down. But, you know, if that's entirely the case, then why did the price of gasoline go up so quickly when the $100 a barrel oil is only now starting to show up as gasoline? And the bottom line, the oil companies, it's basically a cartel and a monopoly. And so they control the price.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. So what does Barack Obama do in his first 1,460 days? Mark Green and Michelle, is it Jolene or Jolin, Mark?
Jolin.
Jolin, thank you. Michelle Jolin have written a brilliant book, Change for America, or compiled a brilliant book, Change for America, Progressive Blueprint for the 44th President, with chapters by, well, actually I'll have, Mark is here with us. Mark Green, in addition to being the president of Air America Radio, recently joined with, worked with, and by the way, the author and co-editor of 22 books. We are competing, Mark and I, here. Because my 22nd book is coming out in June.
Oh, my God. I got to hurry.
There you go.
I've got to finish this interview quick.
There you go. You and John Podesta, who's the head of the Center for American Progress Action Fund and Change for America, put this thing together. Actually, he's the head of the American Progress. Are you the – what's your association with the American Progress Action Fund? Because this sentence is written ambiguously.
Tom, 18 months ago, I thought – gee, we're going to have a progressive president. So I called John Podesta, then the head of the Center for American Progress, and said, John, let's get ahead of this. Let's do a agency-by-agency comprehensive book of how to convert each agency from Bush to whoever for a more progressive America. He agreed.
Yeah.
And the rest is history in that, of course, Senator Obama chose John Podesta to run not our transition, but the official transition. Then John's colleagues at the Center for American Progress finished the volume, Change for America, with me. We published it this week. And if your readers don't know, listeners don't know, Barack Obama will be sworn in next week as the 44th president. Tom, I saw President Clinton at an event 3 weeks ago. He said, Mark, the Obama transition is using your book every day, which is gratifying because all we did is pull together people like John Podesta, Carol Browner, who's the energy czar, Josh Steiner, who's at Treasury, Elena Kagan, who's leaving Harvard Law School dean to go to the Justice Department. So we found the best progressive scholars and advocates to bundle together the ideas they worked on for 8 years out of power while Bush was in, but yet productively.
Yeah. And we're talking with Mark Green, who has edited this new book, Change for America, Progressive Blueprint for the 44th President. We've had, I think, about a half a dozen or so, maybe a little more of the people who have contributed chapters to this on the program over the last couple of months. But in your mind, Mark, what are the real top 10 things that Barack Obama needs to do, and in what order should he be doing
them? Let me mention them briefly. And of course, it's just the top line conclusion. The details of how to do each are in Change for America. And it's a piece, Tom, I did for AirAmerica.com and the Huffington Post on Monday. Mm-hmm. Very quickly, first, reduce poverty by a third by 2016, and there are a lot of ways to do it. Bush increased poverty.
Right.
Second, enhance democracy to stop special interest vetoes with campaign finance and more transparency and expanding the franchise. Mm-hmm. Third, get growth rates back to at least the 3% plus of the Kennedy and Clinton years, hence the so-called stimulus. And this goes to a lot of fiscal and monetary reform and an infrastructure bank. Fourth, of course, move to a clean, green, low-carbon economy mm-hmm. for reasons of national security and, of course, economic security. And, Tom, you've written your Ancient Sunlight book about just this.
Yeah.
Fifth, reduce the costs and expand the coverage of health care. It's 70 million Americans who either lack or are inadequately covered by health care, and if every other Western country can do it, we can.
Well, and in fact, I would add, Mark, as a guy who has a pretty decent health insurance policy through Clear Channel here in Portland, I don't think anybody who has health insurance in the United States really has health insurance, because you wouldn't believe the hoops that we
Correct.
Have to jump through and the things, the little gotchas and the things that you think are covered that aren't. And I've never had a serious illness. I mean, you know, God forbid I should, but, you know, I hear horror stories all the time from people who thought that they had the best coverage
well,
out there.
Most companies make money by selling more of their product or service, a car, a phone. Healthcare, HMOs make money by providing less of their service, since they cut back. Last five, then, after these first
sure.
five, elevate science over politics in federal decision-making. So you talk about global warming, not what the industry writes in Bush's speeches. Seventh, restore not the law of rule, which is what Bush has done, but the rule of law from Guantanamo and torture and signing statements. Eighth, educate children for the global economy. Intelligence and information is the new gold.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have more of it with our kids, bad for them, bad for us. Ninth, fight terrorism by working more cooperatively with allies. Apparently, preemptorily invading the wrong country to stop non-state acting terrorists doesn't work.
And yeah.
As we found
surprise,
out.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. And so we have to have a regional cooperation post-Iraq and to stop terrorism that is not based on any particular state.
Right.
Finally, it's very little discussed. The number one issue is to avoid nuclear material getting into this country and detonating in a major city.
Right.
Of course, the loss of life and limb. Mm-hmm. But what that would do to the world and national economy is beyond description. And Obama has to, as prior presidents Kennedy and Clinton did, announce the goal of a world free of nuclear weapons mm-hmm. and then work toward it.
Right. Right.
Though, you see, if we don't lay out a destination or goals to judge Obama by 2012 or 2016, well, he'll never get there, nor will we.
Well, and that last one you mentioned, I mean, this is one of the first things Bush did was withdraw from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Agreement, as I recall, or was it the test ban, whatever it was. I mean, he just said, nah, we're not going to do it. This is just, it's nuts. I'm curious, Mark, you have a long political history. You've run for elected office. You've served in elected office. You know a lot of the real shakers and movers in politics. And so let me ask you a political insider question, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
I've been suggesting for some time that if this administration intends to pursue investigations and possibly prosecutions of people within this administration for everything from torturing people to the political prosecution of Don Siegelman, that they should not signal that before George Bush leaves office so that he will not preemptively pardon everybody in sight, that we should all just kind of lay low on that until after we have an attorney general in office and Congress can begin their work. What's your take on what's the best way for us to hold the former administration accountable and for we the people to push politicians to do the same?
Well, there are three approaches. One was to impeach when it was timely.
Right,
because
which we missed.
We missed because of their constitutional recidivists, how often they have violated if there's a provision of the Constitution they haven't violated, please call us at Air America and tell us what it is.
Yeah, I can.
Second, since that didn't happen because Speaker
maybe the Second Amendment they haven't violated.
By the way, very good. That is the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms is the one that they
put.
And Nancy Pelosi, for good or bad reasons, wouldn't let that go forward. Right. Second, prosecutions going now with the new Justice Department.
Mm.
Maybe Barack Obama is adopting the Tom Hartman theory. But he did say that, gee, we really shouldn't look backwards so much so as not to alarm the Bush people into preemptive pardons. Third, when you get in, at the least, you, of course, have to pursue law violations as they come to you. So if we saw a memo from Cheney saying, torture, I don't care about the Geneva Conventions, and it violated domestic law, you have to prosecute. Yeah. But it looks like Barack Obama, like Lincoln, doesn't want to look back, like Mandela, doesn't want to look back, but wants to look forward.
But Mandela had a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. He wanted those crimes to be exposed. I think that this horrible failure by Jerry Ford and frankly by Bill Clinton not to continue investigating Iran-Contra have harmed this country.
Tom, you took the words out of my mouth. You have been talking about that on Air America on your show. Mm-hmm. In our book, Fritz Schwartz, a major, one of the heads of the Brennan Center for Legal Justice in New York, actually along with Ralph Nader and Bruce Fein and others, have been urging a sort of a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. That is, you have a bipartisan group who don't have the power to prosecute like a special prosecutor, mm-hmm. but subpoena power and the ability to compel evidence to disclose the truth. And if we find out that John Yoo and all these other people in justice made up arguments for the unitary executive to justify torture, Guantanamo, signing statements, the politicization of the Justice Department, at least if you're not going to impeach or convict these political criminals, disclose it so future administrations are deterred from repeating these offenses.
Yeah, and I would submit to you that there have been some people like Don Siegelman, for example, who have been so badly harmed by criminal activity, by Karl Rove in this case, that it does warrant prosecution. Anyhow, Mark Green, the book is Change for America. If you want to read what Barack Obama is reading, buy Change for America, Progressive Blueprint for the 44th President, edited by Mark Green and Michelle Jolin. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Tom.
Good talking with you. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, airamerica.com, our free video stream. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code BLUE to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, BLUE, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco, and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try. Free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code BLUE. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
We cannot let the American porn industry go down.
Randy Rhodes.
So why is the porn industry asking for a bailout? I know that I've given the porn industry at least $5 billion myself, so there's no need for the bailout, Larry.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
If you cannot make money by producing pornography in this country,
3 to 6,
you are pretty much freaking hopeless.
On AM 620 KPOJ
and 620KPOJ.com.
So you want to stop smoking. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier. Tell them you don't want to pay for the product. You just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if, you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it? Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop-smoking system. And when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals, cravings, and includes a 30-day supply of the Smoke-Free capsules, a Guide to Living Smoke-Free book, an audio support program, a capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Smoke-Free. Call 1-800-322-3799 today. 1-800-322-3799. This is a limited-time offer, so call 1-800-322-3799 now.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. True confession. I'm hungry. I can't stop thinking about the healthy fish and chips, classic or spicy Baja fish taco platters, crisp salads, and Dana's homemade soups at the Hawthorne Fish House and the Corbett Fish House. Salmon, halibut, catfish, or cod, it's all delicious. If you want a taste of the Midwest, try the perch, walleye, or even the fried cheese curds. They make a mean, spicy black bean garden burger as well. Hawthorne Fish House Southeast and Corbett Fish House Southwest.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Every month, we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like Geico's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. Geico.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon, and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy squeezy lemon peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Who do you ping for? I ping for my mom, my friend Linda, and my cousin Rhonda. One in three women are diagnosed with cancer, so we all ping for someone. Now you can ping with us and support life-saving research at City of Hope. Find out more at whodoyoupingfor.com.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour, the place where progressives come to party. It's the Tom Hartman program. And I just want to share, this is our geeky science segment for the week. I one of my favorites. I am an absolute science geek. I admit it. I confess. And I know that many of you are, and I just want to share with you some of just the coolest science stories around. They have found life on Mars. Yes, they have. They actually have. Alien microbes living just below the Martian soil are responsible for a haze of methane around the red planet, according to NASA scientists. Hey, pretty cool. Life on Mars. And I think it was last week that I shared with you, maybe the week before in our geeky science segment, the discovery that there is ribonucleic acid. And presumably deoxyribonucleic acid, the D and the R of DNA and RNA, that it's just like floating free in space. It seems to be formed at the same time stars are formed, so it may be that life is ubiquitous. Throughout the universe, you will find life, certainly the conditions for life. Here's another one. Are you drinking too much coffee? One way to find out is whether or not you're hallucinating. Yep, if your cup of Joe starts talking to you, chances are you're a caffeine addict. People who are heavily addicted to caffeine, they have a bit of a problem. And when stressed, the body amps up its production of the hormone cortisol. Remember that. I'm going to give you a little riff on that in just a second, which can cause people to see and hear things that aren't there. Cortisol in the body is regulated by caffeine. It's upregulated by caffeine. Cortisol is sometimes referred to as the stress hormone. And this, the study that was done at Durham University in the UK with 200-plus participants, most of them women, ranked the relevance of statements such as, have you ever had the sensation that you left your body temporarily, things like that. The data show that individuals who consume more caffeine were more likely to hallucinate. Now, here's another thing about cortisol that I find very interesting. I wrote about this in my book, The Edison Gene. Which is the last book that I wrote. It was published about 2 years ago about attention deficit hyperactive disorder. And it's just some amazing research that has been done in a book called Affect Regulation and the Development of Self by Alan Shore. It's a 2,400-page brilliant book with thousands of footnotes on how we develop. Literally, the neurology, the neurobiology of human development. And what he found, or what was found, what was reported in his book and that I reported in my book, The Edison Gene, is that during gestation, during pregnancy, the fetus is constantly asking mom, is this a safe world that I'm going to be born into, or is it a dangerous world into which I'm going to be born? And mom is continually giving the fetus feedback on that through the hormone cortisol. So if mom's cortisol levels are high, then the developing embryo fetus, you know, depending on the stage of development, assumes that the world is dangerous. And the hindbrain part of the brain, the back of the head, the brain stem, really, the below the back of the head, that part of the brain that is responsible for fight or flight gets overdeveloped. And the forebrain, the most evolutionarily recent parts of the brain, the parts where that are responsible for inhibition and for thinking, is diminished. On the other hand, if there are low cortisol levels during pregnancy, then the forebrain area is exaggerated and the hindbrain area is diminished. So it turns out that one of the major things that will determine whether a child is born and will grow up to be somebody who is has a hair trigger fight or flight response, probably a hair trigger temper, and is more inclined to be physical versus somebody who is a little more laid back emotionally and responsively and is more likely to be intellectual, is the level of stress that the mother experiences through pregnancy, or at least the level of stress that her body thinks it perceives, which it measures by the hormone cortisol. And, now looking back in retrospect, we have three children, and throughout those three pregnancies, Louise quit drinking coffee, even though she's a total coffee junkie for each one of them. And I suspect now our kids are grateful to her for that, because they're all pretty smart kids. Anyhow, something to know about cortisol. The fastest way to change a species, this from Science Now Daily News, eat it. What they're discovering, and this is actually not good news, that evolution is happening very, very rapidly, particularly in our oceans. It's happening on land with land animals and with some plants as well. But because we tend to harvest the very largest of the fish, that produces an evolutionary pressure that favors fish that don't grow that large. And so what we're seeing, and it's most conspicuous with a species known as Gatus moroha, which is also known as the Atlantic cod, is that evolution is happening. And the cods that are being born have, you know, their DNA has changed, and they don't grow as big as we would like to harvest. And so the entire species is shrinking. In fact, they say exploited species, this is published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, exploited species transformed on average three times faster than in natural systems. Now, you're seeing this radical increase in the rate of evolution. And almost all the exploited species, from bighorn sheep to the Himalayan snow lotus, which is a plant, were shrinking, breeding earlier, or both. We are driving evolution in a way that may come back to bite us, because we're driving the evolution mostly among those species that we eat. Back to politics and your calls right after this. Stick around as we stimulate the economy.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Harvey with us from the Center for American Progress, the Director of Strategic Communications, AmericanProgress.org, the website when the news falls under the radar. Christy spots it and is here to tell us about it. Hey, Christy.
Hey, how are you, Tom?
I am great. First of all, James Inhofe has said that Carol Browner is a socialist because she's associated with the American Center for American Progress, among other things. So are you wearing your I Am a Socialist badge?
I am wearing my badge of honor. If James Inhofe is against you. I think that you get to wear a tiara and a sash that says so for at least a week.
Yes, if James Inhofe is against it, then good Americans should be for it. That's a good one.
It was fantastic. He also attacked us, for a big study that we did on radio. And it was calling for radio to stop being in the hands of just a couple of companies and to ease the rules and regulations and allow radio to become local again. And he did not read the report, just heard about it. And so he went on this huge screed about how we refer the fair, the fairness doctrine, which actually the report was against. So it was an interesting week with him.
Yeah, one of the radio newsletters that pretty much everybody in the industry gets was talking about the fairness doctrine. They asked for comments, and I sent one in saying, you know, I don't know any progressive hosts who are in favor of the fairness doctrine the way that conservatives are caricaturing it.
And, oh, absolutely. It's the stereotypical straw man. They make up something that sounds really horrible and then say they're against it.
Right. Yeah. It's
it only exists in their imagination.
It's absolutely bizarre. And I understand it was 50 degrees in Alaska.
It's crazy, Tom. I have to tell you, I love it up here, but it is a little wacky. They had to close schools, businesses, and roads yesterday because it got too warm. You know, on the East Coast, schools, businesses, and roads close when it snows or it's something like that. But it actually, we broke our negative temperatures. We've been in negative temperatures for 20 days, and it suddenly skyrocketed to 32 yesterday, and everything melted. But then it refroze, and it's like the entire state was just run by a Zamboni. It's all just slick, smooth ice.
Yeah.
And today the world is a pond. It's just wet. Everything is melted.
Amazing. Yeah, we've had some absolutely bizarre weather here in Portland as well. I credit it to global climate change. You know, I think that doesn't necessarily posit that every place is going to get warmer. It's going to be really cold in Washington D.C. for the inauguration next week, for example. It simply posits that things get weird.
And extreme and unexpected. That's what global warming is. You're absolutely right. It doesn't just mean that everybody gets to have a tropical vacation in their yard.
Right. So let's get through some of the news here. Our last Bushism.
Kind of funny. It was in his speech Monday, and he was, everybody keeps track of the Bushisms, and this might be the last one unless tonight he steps, puts his foot in his mouth again. But he said, I'm telling you, there's an enemy that would like to attack America, Americans again. There just is. That's the reality of the world. And I wish him all the very best. And he was referring to a couple paragraphs before where he was talking about the new president, but he sort of got confused that sticking that sentence about the terrorist in between meant that the hymn couldn't really refer back to what he thought it did.
Yeah. Or maybe, I mean, you know, keep in mind, this is the guy who was warned that 9/11 was coming and chose to do nothing about it. Maybe he actually does wish the terrorists the very best.
I can't imagine that. I think that he just, it's going to be interesting to have a president in office who speaks in complete sentences.
It will. It'll be a
refreshing
change.
It will be very interesting.
Yeah, it'll be a very refreshing change. No time to slack off. This. If you think the Obama administration is going to goof off, think again, right?
Yeah, it's they're hitting the ground running. Many presidents sort of ease into their transition, take a few days. They have the honeymoon where they sort of get themselves together. Barack Obama's had the luxury of having a transition team that did that already, and so they're planning to hit the ground just at full speed ahead. And for example, right away they have the EPA is going out and they're going to assess all of the different coal ash disposal sites. Now, coal ash is the runoff, the waste that is produced at these power plants. And if you remember back in December, in Tennessee, the levee broke, basically, and all of this coal ash went into the local water, and it's filled with things, horrible things like heavy metals and arsenic and really nasty stuff.
And it's radioactive as well.
And it's radioactive, and the EPA years and years ago said that they wanted to set a national standard and they were going to keep up on it, and that was back in 2000, but the EPA never actually followed up on that recommendation while President Bush was in power. The EPA kind of forgot about the P part of their name, the protection stuff, while they were in office over the past 8 years. So it'll be interesting. And then we also had this morning, we saw Hillary Clinton, got her official vote from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. They voted 16-1 to allow her to be the Secretary of State, and she's also planning to hit the ground running as well.
Right. David Vitter, who had been calling in 1998 loudly, one of the loudest voices in the Senate, for Bill Clinton to resign because he had been caught having sex with a consenting adult outside of his marriage. David Vitter, the guy who was busted, they found his name in the D.C. Madam's list, and he confessed, and then got a standing ovation from his peers, was the single vote against Hillary Clinton being the Secretary of State. I find that bizarre, by the way. Do you have any idea why he got a standing ovation from the Republicans when he came back into the Senate after holding a press conference in which he admitted that he had been using a prostitute, which, by the way, is a crime, unlike having sex with a consenting adult outside your marriage, which is not a crime?
I actually had to switch churches because David Vitter would, we used to go to early morning Wednesday mass, and David Vitter would come in and sit behind me, and I would lose my concentration and want to see what he was praying about instead of focusing on myself. So I had to switch churches because of that. But David Vitter, he did the very typical conservative thing, which is he went out and he did something very wrong and very bad. And instead of really taking responsibility for it, he said, I sinned, I'm going to work on myself now. And that is sort of the rally cry for the right wing to say, okay, you're off the hook. And we saw it happen with people like Ted Haggard. We saw it happen in part with Larry Craig, although he didn't do it quite as much as people wanted him to. And so
Ted Haggard lost his job, and Larry Craig didn't run for the Senate again. So there was some consequence to those guys. Vitter got a standing ovation.
He did. Maybe everyone was just happy that their name hadn't been exposed.
Maybe
they took one for the team. I don't know.
Maybe they were hoping he would give them some phone numbers. I don't know.
You'll really never know. The Senate's a weird place. So he's hated the Clintons. He's famous for hating the Clintons since the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and they think that that's in large part why he voted against Hillary Clinton today.
Yeah, it's a sad commentary. By the way, the White House emails, we have the guy who was in charge of these things dying in a plane crash a couple of weeks ago. Are you still there?
I'm here, yes.
Christy, okay, I'm hearing a funny noise on the phone. The story that I understood was that the reason there's a couple million missing White House emails is because they were using the GWB-43 server, which is owned by this private company in Tennessee.
Right.
Michael Connell, the owner of that company, just died and apparently took to the grave with him the secret of where those emails may be. Although I remember reading a story in the newspaper, I think it was an AP story, back 2 or 3 years ago, saying that Connell's company had actually physically crushed the hard drives on which those emails had once resided, so they could not be forensically recovered.
Right.
What do you know about that? And what's going on with Congress and this federal judge?
Well, there is a federal judge this week did finally come out and say, okay, we're just not going to play around with this anymore. Before you leave office, you must certify that you have looked at every laptop, every hard drive, every thumbnail, every email system. It's hard to lose an email. And the White House keeps saying, well, we're trying, but they're not really showing any proof that that's going on. Now, there is a lot of controversy and scandal, like you said, over where these emails had gone, especially since, you remember, they went through 17 different variations of what could have happened to them. Oh, remember, at first they said we gave them to Patrick Fitzgerald, and he must have lost them.
Right.
And
this is stuff that made us long for the days of Rosemary Woods.
Oh, absolutely. So, they're looking into what happened to those servers, if they were physically destroyed, if there's anyone else. But there is definitely a big, big cover-up going on with this.
Right. Okay. And now, SCOTUS decision. Forget everything you've learned about unlawful search and seizure.
Yeah, this was a very disturbing Supreme Court decision from yesterday, in which they basically, you watch Law & Order, I watch Law & Order a lot, and that you always get the evidence thrown out if the police didn't follow proper procedure, if they didn't have the right warrant, or if they searched your car without, telling you they were going to. And that just is how things have always been. But the Supreme Court yesterday, they split very much on party lines, with the conservatives winning on this one, with Scalia, Alito, Roberts, experts, and they said that now evidence is allowed to be used in court even if the police made a mistake in properly getting it, which a lot of lawyers, especially defense lawyers, are saying is really bad. And Justices Souter and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stevenson Breyer all came out and said that this is kind of shocking for the what it could do for people's rights to a fair trial.
This is the death of the Fourth Amendment.
It's pretty scary, especially we also saw today one of the federal courts said warrantless wiretapping was okay, too. So
amazing.
The nanny state begins, Tom.
Christy Harvey, AmericanProgress.org. Thank you, Christy.
Thanks a lot.
46 minutes past the hour.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country.
That has now changed.
But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party. And it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
I'm Tom Dwyer. I usually give you our number, 230-2300, and now I'm giving you another important number, 350. Why 350? We know too much carbon dioxide contributes to global climate change, and now we know how much is too much. The best science tells us that 350 parts per million carbon dioxide is the red line for humans on Earth. The higher over 350 we go, the less likely it is that we'll ever bring climate change under control. Right now, we're at 387. You can do something. Go to TomDwyer.com. And click the link to 350.org and learn about the global movement to bring us back down below 350. Then join our carbon neutral program and offset your carbon emissions now. Sign up using the promo code KPOJ, save 50% on membership, your car will be carbon neutral, and we'll give you $350 worth of discounts. Now that's a great way to help your car, your wallet, and your planet. Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, keeping your vehicle safe, breakdown free, and operating at their best. 503-230-2300. And now, more importantly, 350.
What's worse than losing half of your investments? It's recovering and letting it happen all over again. I'm Bill Meyer, president of Strategic Group, a Portland investment advisor firm. If you're looking for an investment advisor that has a different strategy geared for investing in this volatile market and have 500,000 of investable assets, call now for a free consultation. 503-222-9737.
Real people, real results. Strategic Group.
Blowout. Enormous or of epic proportions.
Thousands of guitars, amps, and drums.
Liquidate to eliminate by extreme measures.
Up to 70% off list.
Clearance. An event where everything must go.
Wall-to-wall deals stacked and tagged to move by Sunday night.
Musicians. It's Guitar Center's massive clearance blowout.
Ibanez Electrics, list $399. Now just $179. Navy Wireless Systems, just $49. Hundreds of deals throughout the store. Guitar Center's clearance blowout in Sunday.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. One of the perks for KPOJ listeners is getting exclusive deals from our loyal advertisers. Here's one you can't afford to pass up. During January, Floor Trends Northwest is offering free basic installation on any carpet purchase over 50 yards. That's a savings of hundreds of dollars. They're also offering up to 50% off all overstock carpet and hardwood. Now is the time to take advantage of these huge discounts only for KPOJ listeners, only at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Nine and a half minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you, and wrong one.
Baby, take off your coat. Real slow.
Yeah, believe it or not, this is going on in Taiwan here.
Baby, take off your shoes. I'll take your shoes.
Yeah, in front of about 50 students.
Baby, take off your dress. Yes, yes, yes. You can leave your hat on.
But leave your hat on, yeah. Well, they don't do that, actually. At university in Taiwan, the Mass Communications Department of Providence University in Taiwan has opened a course in pornography. Yes, you can get an A in porn. Not doing it, watching it. Oddly enough, one worried student who wished not to be named commented to a newspaper reporter, "If I get a very good score on this course, I don't know how I'll explain it to my parents." Another student said, "I'm really worried my parents will see the score report when it is mailed home. I don't know what to say if I get a high score. However, if I fail the course, maybe I can speak to my parents and suggest that I should watch more porn." Oh, man. Oh, and just, you know, along those same lines, I guess this would be our Twilight Zone alert. In the United Kingdom, no, actually in Germany, this was in Berlin. A couple of crooks threatened a female employee in the Charlottenburg Wilmsdorf district of a cash and carry alcohol shop. Came in with a machete to steal some money. The shop owner handed over the equivalent of 5,000 British pounds and euros. The shop's silent alarm went off. A couple of plainclothes police officers coming from different directions showed up and arrested each other. As they arrested each other, the machete-wielding bandit left with the 5,000 British pounds. Go figure. 866-303-2270. Gabe in Miami, Florida. Hey, Gabe, what's up?
Yes, hi. You were talking about Chavez, and I had Lori was talking about Chavez.
Yes.
Yes, he has been doing a very good government. I was there last year for about 4 months after more than 10 years not being there. Mm-hmm. I grew up there, and I see a lot of progress, especially for the poor people who cannot afford a lot of things.
Right. Well, that seems to be the case, is that he's socialist light, and people like that, and they keep voting him into office, and it's so weird, because when Sarah Palin does it in Alaska, the Republicans all applaud. Oh, look at that, she's taking the oil revenue and she's passing it out to the people, she's helping people. But when Hugo Chavez does it, they say, oh no, that's terrible that he's doing that, how dare he? And not only that, he criticized our president, you know. So, Gabe, thanks for sharing that with us. Good to hear from you. Tim in Portland. Hey, Tim.
Morning, Tom. That study about caffeine, coffee consumption, and hallucinations,
right.
The researchers put in a note that said that it may just be that people that are regular hallucinators also drink caffeine.
Right, yeah, they footnoted it that it wasn't necessarily causal, that they hadn't determined the mechanism, although they suspected that it had to do with cortisol.
Right. Well, a lot of schizophrenics kind of self-medicate, and another thing, I had a my psychology professor one time told us that it can be proven statistically that bald men have more sexual partners.
Because
they're older.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, I've got one for you. 100% of all murderers. 100% of all murderers drink milk.
Right. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. See, that's thank you, Tim. Yeah, that's a problem with associating causality with statistical correlations. It can be a problem. Matthew in San Diego, California. Hey, Matthew, what's on your mind today?
Earlier, you and Mark Green were talking about constitutional amendments that the Bush administration didn't violate, and you said probably the Second Amendment, but that's not true because Michael Chertoff, Secretary of Homeland Security, suspended the Second Amendment for New Orleans shortly after Hurricane Katrina.
You're right!
And the only people who could carry guns were Blackwater and private mercenary members.
You're right. You know, Matthew, we had a contest on this show started around 2003 where I had Tom Tancredo on, the congressman from Colorado. And, you know, we were talking generally about his single obsession, immigration, but got into this thing about how the Republicans are destroying America. And he was defending the Republicans at that time. And I said, please name for me one piece of legislation which has been introduced by Republicans and passed and become law that actually benefits average working people rather than millionaires, billionaires, or corporations. And he was unable to do it. And so we had a contest for about a year on this show. I just offered to give away a free copy of one of my books. I think at the time it was Unequal Protection, to anybody who could come up with it. And, you know, once or twice a week, somebody would call in and say, well, I think I've got one. And we never, ever gave away a book. Nobody ever won that contest. And I think maybe we should revive it.
You should send me a book because I am poor and could really use the reading.
Well, okay. You are our winner for the day, Matt. Not that I want to encourage beggars in the future, but we do want to start giving away a book on the air every day. And so we'll give you a copy. Have you read my books? Pardon?
I love it. Thank you.
Okay. Do you know which one of my – I'm going to have to put you on hold, so we're going to have to get your name and address.
The one about Thomas Jefferson.
Okay, great. What Would Jefferson Do? We will send you a copy of that. Return to Democracy is the subtitle. What Would Jefferson Do? And thank you, Matthew, for the call. And Stephanie will pick you up there on line two and get your information and pass it along to Sean. And I will sign it for you and get it off to you. Coming up tomorrow, Friday, on the Tom Hartman Program. Of course, it's Friday. It'll be Brunch with Bernie. Senator Bernie Sanders taking your calls. And then anything goes. All of the above Friday beyond that. Don't forget, democracy begins with you, with me, with every single one of us. Tag, you're it. And you might want to get some Dramamine for tonight, because if you're going to watch Bush's speech, you know, it's kind of induces nausea. Anyhow, tag, you're it. See you later. See you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.